This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's Hoyer bootleg rollout, rolling to the middle, stepping up. He's got Gabriel wide open. He's got it. First and goal.
Cleveland native, former Browns quarterback and Super Bowl champion Brian Hoyer on the Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima. Brought to you by Montrose Kia. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseKia.com.
All right. Brian Hoyer joining us right now this morning. Hello, Brian.
Anthony, Lima, good to see you. A little tip for Jeff. The Chargers will most likely be drafting a skill guy for Justin Herbert, whether that's a receiver or a tight end. So if Jeff's still listening, when it's his chance to take a pick, tight end or receiver, I would go with that. But just a little tip for him.
They are drafting 22nd overall. Yeah. Okay, well, they're going to take a receiver for him. All right, interesting. Very, very interesting. All right, Brian, let me ask you this. How many years did you play in the NFL?
15.
15 years. You ever have a situation where a player was technically on the roster but not really welcome to play, kind of like what the owner of the Browns just stated for Deshaun Watson yesterday?
Never. I can't think of – I've tried to think back into a situation like that, and I've never had – look, this is a very unique situation, right? Deshaun Watson, the first fully guaranteed contract – it doesn't work out, you're kind of stuck. What can you do? I mean, yeah, you could just get rid of them, but you're still going to carry that cap weight. So it's such a unique situation. I've never had a teammate who basically was like, you're here because we owe you money. Usually you don't have that much money owed to someone, so you can basically say, you know, go on your own separate way. And then to make matters even more complicated, he's dealing with the Achilles injury. So, I mean, if he was healthy, you might release him and say, yeah, we're going to eat some of that in hopes that maybe someone would sign him. But to release him right now, I mean, no one's going to pick him up. And even if that, they're going to give him a minimum deal. So it is such a unique situation. It'll be interesting to see, like, is he going to be around during the season? I mean, I know a few weeks ago we made a big deal about his workout video, and I told you then, like, Deshaun Watson is never playing for the Browns again. It's just not going to happen because of the injury, and because and kudos to, you know, Jimmy Haslam for going out there and taking accountability and said, look, we took a big swing and it was a swing and a miss, and that's on us. And I think it was relatively well known in NFL circles that it was the Haslams that pushed for that trade. So it's good to see him take that accountability and say it's not on Andrew Berry, it's not on Kevin Stefanski. But you know, he always has the trump card and says, well, they got to nail the draft this year. We got to win this year. I mean, so those guys are in a tough situation. They got to, you know, try to get back and win games while they're sitting there in the quarterback position, which is obviously the most important position. They're hamstrung by the Deshaun Watson contract. So you got to accumulate a group of players in that room that are on relatively low contracts.
Brian Hoyer with us, as he is every week at this time. There's always a great conversation, especially when analytics are involved too, with how heavy they are in that department, the Cleveland Browns front office, which is process versus results. So, Brian, this show, we are torn apart over process. I thought it made sense. I thought going after Deshaun Watson, who I thought was a top five quarterback at the time, made sense, especially with the way things ended with Baker Mayfield. Ken disagreed. You know, we talked about the baggage and the suspensions and all of that stuff, but I thought at the root of it, he was always going to be able to get back to being an elite quarterback. And clearly, Ken was right, and I was wrong here. What did you think of the, quote, big swing at the time? What did you think of him as a talent?
Yeah, look, I mean, this is where analytics, particularly in football, there's such a human element to playing the game. There's an emotional side, there's a mental side. And my argument with analytics is it's great for when you talk about situation, should we go for it, should we do those things? But there's also a gut feeling, and having been around Bill Belichick for as long as I was, like, his gut was his analytics. Now, he had his guy Ernie Adams, who I don't know how much you guys know about Ernie, but I came to find out this guy was calling plays back in the day with Eric Metcalf, you know, running him up the middle. I remember my dad being like, how are they sending Metcalf up the middle? And I would ask Ernie from time to time, like, what was the thought process there? But there's so much of a gut and emotion side that goes into it. And when you look at the analytics, you can go by stats, you can go by all of those things. But to me, plucking one guy from a situation and saying, hey, we're going to plug him in. And there's a lot that goes into it. There's offensive coordinators, there's the players around him, there's the scheme, it's how you're going to use him, not to mention injury. So to me, analytics is great when you're talking about, you know, should we go for two? The analytics say you're better off going. But when you're talking about, you know, completion percentage and all those things, like, I just look at it from the quarterback perspective. How do those analytics people know what the read of the quarterback is, what the progression is? Did the guy convert the right route at the right time? What was the defense? I mean, you got to understand, like, in a typical game plan, we'd go in with somewhere between 100 and 150 plays. And then when you talk about the defenses getting up to maybe 50, 60 different defenses, the outcomes are almost unlimited. And so to me, to put analytics on certain plays and players, it becomes very hard. This isn't like baseball where it's a pitcher versus a hitter. There's 22 guys out on the field, and offensively at least, you're counting on the other 10 guys to do their job precisely in order to do your job. And I've always said on offense, one guy could mess up, whether it's offensive lineman, a receiver, a tight end, obviously the quarterback, and the play can go horribly wrong. Whereas on defense, if you're away from the play and you fall and you're supposed to be covering, but the quarterback doesn't look at you, you can kind of get away with it. And so defensively, there's a little bit more room for error. But typically on offense, it takes all 11 guys to execute their job for a play to be successful. And so to me, the analytics is very few and far between on how you can account for all of that.
Brian Hoyer joining us here. And of course, you're giving us some good stuff here, Brian. But I let me ask you this. When it comes to some of the other possibilities that's happened with the Browns, you know, I got to ask you, when it comes to that trade, you can kind of meet him both ways, but does that mean that the Haslams or Jimmy Haslam had nothing to apologize for then if Lyman's telling me it was the right trade to make at the right time? It just didn't work out?
No, I mean, look, I think what he said is appropriate. Look, there's no crystal ball. You don't know how it's going to play out. And at the time, Deshaun was a top five quarterback. I would say, you know, he had dealt with some injury. That would have been the biggest hesitation. But when he played really well. Obviously, I don't think everybody knew the extent of the off-field distractions. That's another thing that you can't put into the analytics machine. But I think to come out and say that is taking accountability, and it sends the right message to not only the fan base but to the team and say, look, this one's on us. It didn't work out. And that's a part of sports. I mean, you're going to take big attempts, and sometimes it's not going to work out. And I think taking that accountability is a first step in heading in the right direction, 100%.
Let me ask you this. Brian Hoyer joining us here on the show. I mean, you were a part of the organization a couple of times talking about the Patriots. I know some Boston area media that's kind of like, hey, you know, Bob Kraft, a lot of people think he's great, but he kind of lucked into Tom Brady and that whole thing. I got to ask you, you played for both organizations. Are there any parallels you can draw between Robert Kraft and Jimmy Haslam?
Not really. I think to me, when I was in Cleveland, that was Jimmy's first few years. He was very heavily involved. Like, I know that he would sit in on the coaches' meetings the day after the game and would ask a lot of questions. Whereas for me, with my time in New England, Mr. Kraft basically just said, Bill, you got it. Like, you're in charge of the football operation. And Mr. Kraft was around a lot. But it was more just to mingle with the players, get a feel for the team, I mean, to me, he was one of the best and coolest owners I ever was around because he didn't really have to worry about the football side of it, right? Mm-hmm. He hired Bill Belichick. He had Tom Brady. They had a magnificent run, and he can kind of let them do their thing. And whereas, you know, with Jimmy, I think he's so chomping at the bit to get a winner that he gets involved and maybe to an extent where it's too much. And now here he is having to say, look, this is on us. I was, you know, pushing for this trade. It didn't work out. And so, to me, look, the other thing, I was part of the Browns. I was part of the Patriots. I played for 9 teams. I witnessed a lot of different ownership styles. I mean, I was in Pittsburgh, albeit for a short time, but you never really saw the Rooneys come around. But they let Mike Tomlin do his thing. They let Kevin Colbert, or now it's Omar Khan. Just, I mean, I think to me, unless you have a heavy football background and you're an owner, you got to feel good with who you hire to run the football operations and then let them do their job and then see where it goes. I think if you don't have the expertise when it comes to understanding how those things work, and then you start to get involved, and I've seen it in a lot of other places. Indianapolis was one of them. I mean, Irsay would come in and kick Frank Wright out of the team meeting, not the team meeting, but like right before the game, and he'd give a rah-rah speech. I'd never seen anything like it in my life. And God. So for me, I get it. It's they're very passionate about it. It's their family business, all of those things. But you gotta hire the right people, let them do their thing, and let the football people make the football decisions. That's just my opinion. I mean, I'm sure other people will say, you know, they're putting a lot of money into it. I agree. But if you don't know the ins and outs of, you know, how the game is played, how a team is built, then you're just interjecting yourself into something you don't really know.
Brian Hoyer with us. It seems like every week we have kind of honed in on one prospect over the other. And this week it's kind of turned to Travis Hunter, who the Browns had some interesting things to say about him. They consider him pretty much a wide receiver. We've talked about whether or not a player in this day and age can even handle, you know, being in meetings, different meetings all week and playing both sides and all that entails. Just I'd like to talk to you, Brian, what have you seen from him as a wide receiver prospect? How good do you think he has a chance to be, and does it make any sense to take him at number 2 overall?
I think he's the best player in the draft. I think between him and Abdul Carter, those are like, to me, and actually I would throw the tight end from Penn State in there, who are like, I think will be potential Pro Bowl players year one. I think that's just that when you look at their skill set, what they've accomplished and what they could potentially do as rookies, they're going to be contributors day one. And so to me, I've done a lot of research on Travis Hunter because obviously he's a very intriguing prospect. And the more I watch him as a receiver, the more I see a true number one receiver. I think he has the skill set of a Devonta Smith, a Jameson Williams, and I think his ceiling would be a Justin Jefferson type receiver. I really believe that. And I think that makes it that much more incredible that he's able to play receiver full time and then in college play DB the full time. I mean, he was a guy who's playing like 150 snaps a game and never really fell off. But when you really zero in on him as a receiver, he's got extremely strong hands. I mean, for a guy that isn't like this 6'4", 215-pound receiver, he goes up and gets the ball and pulls it away from DBs on a consistent basis. His body control, to me, reminds me of, I played with DeAndre Hopkins, and Hop was one of these guys where if you just threw it by him, he had an uncanny ability to maneuver his body. And there was a few plays in the season for Colorado last year where Shador didn't really throw a great ball, but somehow Travis Hunter maneuvered his body and made a tremendous catch. And then when he gets the ball in his hands, this guy's looking to score from any distance. And so to me, I think he becomes primarily a wide receiver. And then I think what you do is you have a little package for him, probably on third down, maybe on some like longer passing situations where it's like two coverages. Hey, on this down and distance, we're going to play man. You have this receiver. You just follow him around. And then there's maybe some zone where he plays cover two because he is lengthy. He can jam at the line of scrimmage and play zone. And he's a ball hawk. I mean, this guy, he wants the ball at all times. And so even watching him on the defensive side of the game, he's looking for the ball at all times. He's coming off his own receiver, making interceptions. He's very instinctual. I mean, to me, this is a generational prospect.
Brian Hoyer joining us here on the show. Well, it's hard for me to disagree with you. It really is, because like you go back to the game against Baylor last year, and you know a lot of people talk about the throw. It's like, well, he did force a fumble that kept them around in that game. If they lose that game against Baylor last year, I don't know how their season turns out. It was a little bit touch and go after the Nebraska loss because they just got beat so soundly against Nebraska last year. So I got him credit on that. If you make him a wide receiver, how do you mix him into the defense, though? Because I really think if he's a wide receiver, he just stays there. I think it's very hard to go out and play defense as opposed to being a corner and then, all right, we'll mix in some packages here to keep a defense looking at different things here and see whether or not we're going to use him or whether or not he's a decoy.
Yeah, I mean, and the other thing I should state is the thing that I love about him, and like when you talk about like it factor, just like the competitiveness of what this guy. I mean, he wants to be great. He's like, I'll do whatever I can to get on the field as much as I can. So you have to admire a guy who's extremely talented and wants to work and wants to be out there and wants to be great. This is my perspective, having been a quarterback and offensive player for 15 years. It takes a lot more time to learn an offense than it does a defense. I joke with a lot of the defensive players that, you know, I play with all the time. Like, that's your play call, three words. Like, our offensive play calls are 15 to 25 words. You got to know where to line up. You got to know who you are in the formation. You got to know, is there an alert on the play? Defense is actually pretty simple, especially if you're going to be a part-time player. And so, to me, he would spend the majority of his time in the offensive meeting room. And then, just as we all know, like, There's certain packages, nickel package, dime package, money. You have all these different packages where you basically say, Travis, in nickel, you become the outside corner. We're going to bump somebody in to the inside, and we're playing two coverages. You got cover one, so you're covering this guy no matter where he goes. You got help on the inside, and we're going to play cover two. And so to me, you could really, let's just say he spends 85% of his time working with the offense, 15% of the time would cover a third down package for that week. And that could vary from week to week. But I do think that a guy who played 150 snaps in college almost every single game, let's just say offensively, you get anywhere between 55 and 75 plays if you're lucky. 75 would be like an outstanding game. So let's just say, call it 65 on offense and another 25 on defense because it's third down and passing situations. I think he's more than capable of doing that.
Brian Hoyer joining us on the show. Brian, we thank you very much for the time. We appreciate it. We'll talk to you again next week.
All right, guys.
Brian Hoyer on the brought to you by Montrose Kia. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseKia.com. Choose Click Cruise at MontroseKia.com. Brian Hoyer certainly likes Travis Hunter, doesn't he? Called him generational.
Holy cow, Kenny.
Holy potato salad.
Does that change everything?
A little bit. I can't budge already. Don't want to hear
it's
the calls, man.
It's getting harder by the day. Hold on. Can we take people through the roller coaster of emotions here? Because we got worked up. This show got worked up over taking Shedeur Sanders at number 2 overall. You stayed steadfast in that lane. Then
because I thought they were going to take a quarterback.
Yeah, then I started to wiggle. And then I started to sour after the combine.
Leave you with Daryl for a week.
Then, and that was part of it, then we get to a few weeks ago, and it's like, oh my God, Abdul Carter. Like, they're going to put him and Miles together. This is going to be electric when Miles signed, and we're going to put the two of them. We're going to have the most dominating defense in the NFL. We started to call Abdul Carter generational. Started talking about him as if he was Myles Garrett.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And then we thought, well, yeah, we're getting Kirk Cousins, so, you know, that would muddy the waters a little bit. Well, then the Kirk Cousins thing seemed to temporarily go out the window. I don't mean to do your
offseason tracker. Even though Diana Rossini came in.
I know.
No, I'm going to need this because it's hard to keep up with all of it, so I'm going to need this recorded.
Well, then this week it became, well, what about Travis Hunter? Why are we not talking about a guy that can play both ways? Can fill up two different starting spots on your team. And now, oh, by the way, he's also generational talent.
They're all generational.
But the Browns apparently said, well, we really see him as a wide receiver. Well, would Travis Hunter even want to be here if we're telling him he can only play wide receiver?
I mean, does he have a choice in the matter here? I mean, we talked about Shedeur Sanders picking and choosing where he goes. Now, all of a sudden, Travis Hunter's not going to want to be here because we don't want to let him play cornerback?
Well, no. I just mean if he is telling people, hold on,
buddy.
If he's telling people, and the Browns will have his workout, right, later this week?
Yeah.
If he's telling teams, I want to play both ways, and the Browns are telling you, we really only see you as a wide receiver, that only makes sense to us, then what do? You're in an impasse. Do you take a guy who's going to start off on the wrong foot? He's already annoyed. He's going to tell the media he wants to play both ways, and you're not going to let him. Then that's going to be a
is he going to sit there? Wait a minute. Is he going to sit there and bitch and moan in the media every day that you have a media obligation with him that he wants to play both ways?
No, I think he'll be asked about it.
Oh, obviously he's going to be asked about it. He should be asked about it. But he could say, I'm willing to play both ways if they need me. That's not a hard thing to say to avoid any sort of criticism. Honestly, I just don't want to sit here and deal with calls when a bad team eventually gets burned and then I have to sit there and listen about him playing other positions. I don't want to marginalize his talents. If he's a great wide receiver, then damn it, make him a great wide receiver. If he's a great corner, fine. Make him a great corner, but let him have a couple of packages on the offense. I'm not doing it vice versa, though. I just don't believe in that. Andrew Berry, he spoke. This was yesterday. Was it Andrew Berry?
Over
at the 2 days ago. This was at the owners' meetings. Here's him talking about Travis Hunter playing both ways.
Can he play both ways? I think the answer is yes. Like he can play either position. I think he'll play both sides of the ball. You know, in the NFL, I truly do. How that balance looks, I think, depends on the relative schemes on each side of the ball, and then how much he can handle. Probably more physically than mentally. He's brilliant. Like he's brilliant from a football standpoint. Has rare intelligence. So I don't think there's necessarily a limit in terms of how you can use him.
What's Kevin got to say about the issue?
Outstanding player, an outstanding young man, elite ball skills. I don't know if there's been better, truly. This kid's special. You know, he's had a ton of production in the college game. And, oh, by the way, he's doing it for both sides of the ball. But as a receiver, obviously, I think room to grow, but certainly has elite ball skills.
So I'm taking him off the board because I don't want to deal with the calls. That's my business. I'm sorry. Brian's turning in the card. People on the internet are hammering him for saying generational. It's called a generational talent. I mean, if anybody actually is a generational talent, would it not be Travis Hunter?
Well, once in a generation, you get a guy that can play both ways. That would make him a generational
talent. So that would make him a once in a generation talent. So of all the guys, see, I'm not going after Brian for saying he's a generational talent. You should be going after everybody else for saying everybody else is a generational talent.
Well, we got to go back. Mitch, find the audio from Andrew Berry. Has he changed his mind? February 25th, he is saying that he viewed Travis Hunter as a receiver primarily. That is not what I just heard from those meetings that we just played.
So, how'd you find that? That's good stuff.
So I was using dated material. Here is Andrew Berry back at the Combine.
Well, I'd say this. In terms of Travis Hunter, cornerback or receiver, the answer is yes. He can play both, and I think that's what makes him special. You know, we would see him as a receiver primarily first, but I think part of, again, what makes him a bit of a unicorn is the fact that he can do both at a high level.
Okay, so you're still saying
both. If you guys want him, then don't you be calling me when someone gets burned. 216-474-0092. If you want him, you better solemnly swear you ain't going to call up bitching once Martin Emerson Jr. gets burned. Denzel, if Denzel gets hurt,
of course,
don't be calling up bitching.
And by the way, there are always injuries in your secondary. You're always down a guy here or there. Now, here's the problem. What if he's the guy that gets injured? What if Travis Hunter gets injured playing secondary? I know it's like, well, guys can get injured doing anything.
Oh, God, don't say that.
But you just know.
I didn't even think about that.
What if Travis Hunter gets injured walking into the stadium?
Sure. I'm just saying, the more plays.
Great point. Great counterpoint, Owen. Thank you.
The more plays, the more packages you're in, you know, the likelihood of that stuff increases.
He ain't playing 120 snaps.
No,
ain't going to happen. No. Not at this level. No, absolutely not. You just, hey, if you guys want Travis Hunter, as long as you promise that the first tweet you see when somebody from Carolina in the joint practice, I'll give you Carolina. Not a very good football team, right? As long as we don't say, like, oh, well, Bryce Young just put one over the top, and now it was on MJ Emerson, and we have caught. I'm using MJ Emerson as an example. I don't mean to beat up on the young man. I know he had a good rookie year. Last year was off. I don't know what happened with his fall off. I don't mean to beat him up, but I'm just saying. I don't think people call over Denzel Ward. But, man, don't. Come on. If we can have discipline with ourselves, that'd be great. I already know it. I already feel it. And you put him out there on defense. He gets hurt on defense. Remember, you're losing two spots. So this is a conversation they're having in the building. They could love Travis Hunter all you want. If you get hurt on offense, you're hurting my defense. Or especially if you get hurt on defense and he's a wide receiver, you're really hurting my offense. How many points a game did they put up last year on offense? Like four? I mean, was it not one of the worst offenses? You did the math, right? Was it not one of the worst offenses, maybe the worst offense since 99?
Yeah.
How's that possible? That includes the expansion year. So they were the worst offense since 99.
And the 0-16 year.
They averaged 15.2 points per game last
year. Who's your quarterback going into week one?
Well, right now, Kenny Pickett.
You better not get him hurt on defense. You better not get him hurt on defense. Don't you damn dare do it. Chuck in Cleveland, you're first up with the Fan.
Hey, how we doing?
Doing okay, Chuck. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to talk about Travis Hunter, how he's not. I know, Ken, you've been saying every time his name was brought up, the last few times maybe or the last couple of weeks, that he's not the best corner or the best receiver, but, I mean, FBS said he was.
Who said he was?
College football. He won the best receiver award, the Blitzkrieg, and he was the defensive player of the year. In the same year, the production is crazy.
Well, guys win the Heisman Trophy and all that stuff. That doesn't mean they're the best prospect coming out.
I didn't even bring up the Heisman. And
I'm just saying. I mean, lots of guys win awards in college. It doesn't make them the best prospect coming out, though, Chuck.
It's the production.
Yeah, listen, man. Hey, if you want to draft him, go ahead and draft him. That's fine. I just don't, man. You better not get him hurt on defense because you have
a terrible,
I mean, just an abomination of an offense.
Oh, Jeremiah Smith was better at wide receiver last year.
But Ken, don't you say that, you know, we can't operate out of fear? You know what I mean?
If that's true.
Talking about building a team around a guy, it's a good idea to start with him. Second pick.
Good player.
Around,
fine player.
Running back.
Yeah.
Third pick, move back up. Get Howard. The production is crazy. You get these three guys. I mean, you talk about rebuilding a team. I just feel like that's the way, you know.
Hey,
we don't talk about Howard enough anyway.
That's fine. I had a big declaration how much I loved Will Howard a few weeks ago.
Now, I didn't feel this way until, you know, Haslam stepped up and said what he said. Like,
ooh,
this might not be a surefire year to draft a QB, but Travis was my pick if we didn't pick Shadur. I mean, he had Shadur looking very well.
See?
And it's crazy because Hoyer, you know, he said what he said, and he made me sound a little – good, because I tell all my boys, all the things Hoyer was just saying. I mean, this guy's a ball hawk. Put him on the other side of Denzel. Keep him at wide receiver, and we'll be all right.
We are all – Chuck, thank you for the call. We are all seeing these guys differently now after Jimmy said what he said yesterday.
If Travis Hunter is one of your starting corners and your number two receiving option, is that okay? I mean, Jerry Jeudy's going to be the number one receiving option right now, right?
Yeah, Jerry Jeudy's your number one. Travis Hunter's your number two.
And then maybe there's packages where he's not on the field. Maybe he needs a breather.
Webster Slaughter's number three at this point. Cedric Tillman, number three.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my God, you forgot Cedric Tillman, didn't you?
I forgot Cedric Tillman, and I forgot the Purdue wide receiver.
You know what? He's a David Bell.
David Bell.
Who came back to the roster. He was originally let go.
He was cut and then came back.
Hey, we're talking about a wide receiver in the first round here, not in the third round. We already know he can't draft him in the third round. We already know that. If you want to say what you want about Andrew Berry, damn. All right, 216-474-0092. It is amazing, though. Jimmy says what he says yesterday, and we see all these guys differently now. Before, quarterback, Abdul Carter. Jimmy says that about Deshaun Watson. It basically puts that to bed. And then he also says, because the key, everybody's paying attention to Deshaun Watson. He said he's willing to wait. If he's willing to wait, you have to ask yourself as a fan, are you as in love with Shedeur Sanders as you thought, or any of these other quarterbacks as you thought? That reevaluates things.
I just want to get off some first reactions to the quote that's been going around today regarding the Haslam's admitting that it was a swing and a miss regarding the Deshaun Watson deal. So, obviously, this has been a kind of a strange couple of years between the Browns and the fan base, between the Browns and Watson himself. Probably never going to step on the field for the Browns again. I think he's okay with that. I think a lot of the Browns fan base at this point, pretty much all the fan base, is okay with that.
Tough talking Mitch Spinell, live from his car.
You really sold me down the river with this one, man.
Sold you down the river, didn't
you? You made it seem like it was going to be this hard-hitting analysis. Well, like, I had these thoughts on the Browns. Those are first
Mitch,
reactions.
You are sitting in a driver's seat. Anytime I've seen a man sitting in a driver's seat getting ready to do a YouTube video, he has been screaming at me. So I assume that you were going to be yelling at everybody.
Oh, no, not at all.
Okay.
Hey, very calm.
I try to be as calm and level-headed as I possibly can when it comes to my sports takes.
So you just thought you had to get that off your chest. Like, you're like, I have a radio show that I could talk about it tomorrow, but we got to get this out to the masses now.
No, he'd rather do a seven-minute video on YouTube.
I'm fascinated that this deal ended up the way in which I knew it always could. Like, I knew this deal could backfire if you're investing so much money into this. If you're essentially risking moving on from one quarterback who thought to be your franchise guy to another. But I didn't think it would be this swift, and I didn't think it would be this, like, assured.
Swift and assured. That's how I like my decisions made. Swiftly and assuredly.
I enjoy the internal monologue of Mitch. I mean, you could tell that he's really grappling with some of these concepts.
I love this.
Some of these decisions.
Well, I love this. Don't let this discourage you. Keep this up.
Yeah, I'm going
to
keep it up.
Mitch not only gave us thoughts on the Haslams and their comments yesterday, he went back to when Deshaun Watson got injured and we had the boos or the cheers or we didn't know it was. He thought about that too.
That game against Cincinnati, obviously it's not good to cheer any player's injury, whether it's for your team or for another. But even I remember talking to some people being like, when that play happened, their first reaction wasn't, oh, the season's over. It's like, oh, because the Browns offense had been struggling that much under Watson and they'd just seen what they could do the year before with Flacco.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, they didn't do what they did with Flacco with Jameis Winston, even though we had, you know, that potential dream in our heads. So, I don't know.
Salient point, Mitch. Well done.
And the way you went from the roller coaster of emotions to, oh, to, I thought that crystallized exactly.
Mitch was like, oh, I was like, hey.
Dilemma you were wrestling with. And I think that was most of the Cleveland fan base.
Oh, the season's over. It's like, oh.
Oh.
I will say the hardest hitting thing in there was my take.
Now I'd like to go back to that for a second because I think what is being crystallized there from you, Mitch, is that it is tough being a Browns fan, man. It is tough.
Well, it's funny you say that because he had something for those Browns fans who have been on tough times and what they should do when they make their claims that they're going to go get rid of their season tickets.
You know, you get to a point where Browns fans are like prominently spouting on social media. And this is social media, so who even knows if they're telling the truth or not? The people who are like, oh, I gave up my season tickets and I feel so free. I feel so great. I feel so fulfilled. Yeah, your life's really fulfilled getting 4 hours back on a Sunday afternoon. I'm sure you're really happy, you know, mowing your lawn or doing whatever you can. This is not against the Browns fan because I do understand the frustration when it comes to investing in the team year in and year out. And
wait a minute.
I believe the last 25 years falling short.
Wait a minute.
I love his season ticket holder voice.
That is the ultimate. You made a voice to dumb down the season ticket holder.
537 voice. Yeah.
You made fun of what they do instead of go to the game and then go, this isn't about going after Browns fans.
I'm not saying every single Browns fan is like that. But it's the idiots in the replies on Twitter that are like, oh, I gave my season tickets a long time ago.
Oh, there you go.
Now the
These
guys
ones are idiots. Yes, not every Browns fan's an idiot.
Now the guys that spent their – no, not everybody's an idiot, just the ones that have spent their hard-earned money and stayed loyal to the
team.
They're telling you, though, Mitch.
See, this is where I disagree. And I'm not just trying to babyface it here. It is a big deal to them to give up their season tickets. You know why? Because they've had plenty of people over the last umpteen years going, you're wasting your money, you're wasting your time. You're wasting your money, you're wasting your time. And in their head, they're going, no, it's going to be different. I don't have anything else I want to do on a Sunday. I want to do on a Sunday, so I'm going to do that. And then finally, they've given up their tickets. So yeah, it is a grandiose statement to them to give up their tickets that they feel binded to.
I gave up my season tickets, and I feel so free. I feel so great. I feel so fulfilled. Yeah, your life's really fulfilled.
So don't they forget, can always come back to them if they really want to, but now they have
Mitch,
to earn it.
Remember, there's a personal seat license as well, so this is a big decision
for
these
season ticket holders. We don't know about June 30th. We don't know if that's going to go down.
Looking back on this, I think that was more directed at the people who don't watch the Browns at like home anymore. Compared to the stadium. Going to the stadium and buying tickets, that's one thing. I should have clarified that.
Oh, we should do another video from your driver's seat.
Yeah, power rank the types of Browns fans that are out there, because you're enumerating all the different types.
I don't know how many different types of Browns fans there are.
Well, okay. What types of Browns fans are there?
Yeah, you need three to do all right, the bet.
All right, three reply guys who say that they're selling season tickets and they feel great. Number two, people who dress up in the big costumes. And then number one, normal Browns fans who wear a jersey or a t-shirt to the
normal.
Game.
Name names of people who dress up in giant costumes.
I don't need to name names.
Oh, the season's over. It's like, Oh. Yeah.
Are you talking about somebody who wears fruit on their head?
I'm not talking about anybody in particular. But
hollowed out fruit on their head?
Not just for the Browns. In general, people who dress up in the giant costumes. That's their prerogative.
In general. You got something against the... you got something against Macho Fan?
Not personally, no.
Wow.
Listen, Browns
I know Macho Fan.
Are a broad coalition of different individuals.
He's a nice guy.
Different races, different genders, different demographics.
What are their creeds? Are their creeds different as well?
Mitch is equal opportunity. Yep. He took shots at all of them
in his video. All of them.
Took shots at every single one of them. Do that voice again.
Yeah. I like your Browns season ticket holder voice.
Okay, the demeaning voice.
It's like, oh, I gave up my season ticket 6 months ago, and I feel so free. It's just, it's so enlightening to get outside for once in a while and not have to suffer through the hell of a Cleveland Browns fandom. It's like, guys, what are we doing?
I gave up my season tickets, and I feel so free. I feel so great. I feel so fulfilled. Yeah, your life's really fulfilled.
Good God. Exactly.
All right, Mitch, well done.
Thank you.
Strong words, Mitch. That was some...
Yeah, hey, you know what? Mitch had something to get off his chest, and he did just that.
It's pretty odd that Mitch turned the owner apologizing for what had gone on. How he turned that into a season ticket holder.
Ownership is not blameless in this. I get that. Ownership, I'm not blind to that.
Well, you guys say I carry some water. Holy Lord, listen to this guy over here. Oh. 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 Podcast coming up after the show. 10:15 a.m. Eastern.
All right,
we find out who Mitch takes shots at during the podcast.
Yeah, who could be next?
Future Cleveland Rockers fans, you're on notice.
Oh, yeah. Better watch out. Former Jaybirds fans, duck. We're back tomorrow, 6 to 10. We will go around the Eastern Conference tomorrow. We're looking forward to it. I didn't get to have my rehashing of the knockdown dragout we had at 6:40.
Well, it's not going away because right now the
Pistons fans are starting to find it on social media. This is good stuff.
And the Pistons, right, I believe, are the 5 seed. Pacers are the 4 seed. But it is looking like your Cavaliers' second-round opponent.
Bring them on.
Going to be one of them.
Bring on the Pistons. It's time to be tough. Stop talking tough. Let them know that you are tough. I don't care. I can't let the ghost of Kelly Olynyk make me afraid. We'll do that again tomorrow. I'm going back to my corner.